Welcome to the Sportscast, January 28th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Starting on February, we're moving the Sportscast into its own channels. Visit sportscast.net, thesportscast.net for all information where you can listen to the Sportscast. Because in February, it will no longer be on these channels. So hopefully you guys will, you know, flip over. It'll be, you know, totally Sportscast. You'll see, you know, your favorites, Ryan Krista, Tyler Turner, Justin Riley, and of course, truly yours, Santiago, and obviously some other Sportscast contributors. I will have to say that this week has been crazy in sports. Not too crazy. There's been some crazy times in sports. But Anthony Davis requested the trade. 2 weeks left for the trading deadline, and this is not common. I mean, it's very common where players want to switch from a mid-level city into a higher, larger market. And to join us to discuss a little bit more about this and the NBA, Ryan Krista, welcome to the Sportscast.
Santiago, good to be here. Good to talk, you know, a little basketball, I guess, and, you know, probably they'll get ready for the big game on Sunday.
The big game, Super Sunday, of course. But let's first start off with the situation with Anthony Davis. It was announced this morning. Were you surprised with this decision, or you kind of knew it was going to happen?
A little bit surprised. And, you know, in the years past, he's always been very loyal to New Orleans and the franchise that drafted him number one. I really just assumed he was going to sign this mega extension with the Pelicans, where it was a year's committed to them. I really think a lot of there was a lot of feelings hurt, you know, when they traded Cousins last year, you know, or like they didn't, you know, they let Cousins go. I'm sorry, they didn't sign him in the offseason. I really, you know, I think he was committed to, you know, hopefully staying in New Orleans if they were committed to Cousins. I think he just knows that this franchise, as it's built right now, can't win with just him alone. They're going to need some more assets, and he probably doesn't really want to be part of another rebuild. They had a decent team last year. They let Rondo go out the door. Didn't re-sign Cousins. So they're in a, you know, definitely in a rebuild that, you know, they got Drew Holiday, and that's really the only major asset they have left on their team. I do think that, you know, I don't think because he asked for a trade, he will get the trade, because I think that the team will try to probably work out, you know, this summer, try to, you know, get him to sign something before. I don't think they'll trade him before this trade deadline. Let's just say that.
Oh, you don't think will happen in these next 2 weeks?
No. Remember, San Diego, he's got one more full year left on the contract.
Okay.
So he, it's kind of that same predicament that San Antonio was in this offseason with.
With Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
Very similar situation.
I mean, really, what you got in hand, you know, when you got a player of Anthony Davis's caliber, you're never going to get enough in return to make the trade worth it. But at the end of the day, you can't just let him walk out the door, you know, next summer and get nothing. So,
what are possible destinations that you've heard that could be for Anthony Davis?
I mean, you're always going to hear about the first ones are going to be the Lakers, because obviously you want to build a team around the Lakers, but. I mean, how many times do we hear that, Santiago?
All day.
Every free agent, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, you know, who are they going? They're going to the Lakers. You know, it's just kind of a broken record here. That seems to be a likely destination to at least be explored. To me, you got to start with the Boston Celtics. They got so many assets, Santiago, so many pieces, so many draft picks. They could probably put together a pretty good package for the Pelicans. And, you know, a player of the Anthony Davis, you know, they trade away, you know, maybe a Jason Tatum or, you know, the only one I think that's non-tradable is probably Kyrie.
Now, you know, why do you think he wants to leave? Is it because he knows he can't win in New Orleans? Is it because it's not a large market where he wants to be in a larger city? What are your thoughts on that?
He's really been a really low-key, low-maintenance, you know, just goes out there and produces, you know, his whole career. And he's always been known as an unselfish player, even when he was at Kentucky. I think it's probably a matter of a lot of different things. You probably think, you know, he's not, you know, maybe he can get more endorsements if he goes to a bigger city. I mean, he's well-known. Everybody knows him. They know what type of player he is, you know. As long as you've, you know, somewhat followed the league, you know who Anthony Davis is, you know, a.k.a. the Brow, you know, I mean. But I think it's more to do with the ability to win in New Orleans than, you know, this is the same predicament that they had several years ago with Chris Paul. You know, I think they had a pretty good team together last year. They won and they, they swept the Trailblazers, you know, but I think if they were able to keep that core together, they had a real pretty good thing going. But losing Rondo, I think, hurt a lot, and I think he's just ready for a new change of scenery. But I think until then, I think he's going to play his heart out for the Pelicans. I don't think it's going to damper, you know. Right now, he's out for a little bit of injury, nothing major, but I can't count anything out of Santiago, but I doubt he'll be traded before this year's trade deadline.
Ryan Krista knows the inside of what's going to happen. Now let's look at the Pelicans. Now the Pelicans have made the playoffs since 2015, where they were a number 8 seed, and I think they missed the very next year. Now, right now in the standings, let me double check the standings. Where are the Pelicans at right now? And you might know this before I get the answer. They're at 13th.
Outside of below 500. Yeah, about 13, 14, you know, they're below 500. I'm going to say we're on 22 and 28, somewhere around
there. Yeah, 22 and 28. Right below the Mavericks and right above the Grizzlies.
Yeah, so, you know, those are probably the three teams that you can really count out of the playoffs in that. West, other than that, I think, you know, you're really looking at, you know, highly competitive Western Conference when it comes to playoffs, and so you really got an interesting choice of the Pelicans. You know, I do think it's a matter of when, not if they trade Anthony Davis, but I just think they, you know, there's not too many Anthony Davises coming around in the draft, that type of difference maker. So I really don't think they trade him now, but I do think they have to trade him because they just can't let that type of player go out the door.
One of the things, one of the teams I also heard behind the Lakers are the Knicks as well, and also the Celtics. You know, it's a very tough situation because this guy is a high caliber center. You know, I mean, he's probably one of the best centers in the NBA, so it's a rarity to see this type of guy, this type of athlete around. So we definitely have to keep an eye out what's going to happen. I'm going to read out the standings of the West right now. Warriors, Nuggets, Thunder, Trailblazers, Rockets, Spurs, Jazz, Clippers, and then the Lakers looking outside in. How do you see the West? Is it fluctuating that you don't even know, for example, the Lakers? They might be fourth by the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. You know, this team, I mean, what were they, fourth place when LeBron James got injured Christmas Day? They've really, really struggled since he's been gone, and he should be back. I think probably by the end of this week, next week at the latest, you know, maybe misses two or three more games. Maybe they hold him out to the All-Star break. I'm not quite sure. But I think once he starts playing, you'll see the Lakers move up the Western Conference standings. And who do they replace? I'm not sure.
Are you surprised with the Lakers' performance with LeBron? You think this team is capable to challenge like a team like the Warriors?
Not with LeBron, still no, but they're definitely good enough to make the playoffs, that's for sure. That's why you're going to see the Lakers are definitely a candidate for, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, because they're really only one more piece away from being able to challenge the Warriors. I really do think, they're really trying to figure out who they can roll with out of these young players and who, is valuable enough to get another good player in exchange for a trade. They're just kind of figuring that out, and that's why, Magic Johnson and Rob Pelicans is the GM of the Lakers is really trying to figure out what the next step is. But I do think it's very important for at least Luke Walton to keep his job to have the Lakers make the playoffs this year.
Now, I've been seeing the Nuggets, fluctuate from 1 to 2. Are the Nuggets pretty good this year?
They are the deepest team, I think, right now. They have a great superstar in Nikola Jokic. But other than that, this team has just got role players, and they play really hard. I think Michael Malone is a great coach.
Warriors are actually in a 10-game winning streak. Are the Warriors back from that slump they had back in December?
Oh yeah. They're definitely. You could just tell now that they got Boogie. They're kind of rejuvenated. It gives them another reason to play hard again. When you're that good, Santiago, and I use example of, those Heat teams with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, when they're winning the East every year, they had a hard time kind of getting up for games when you keep on going to the finals, year in and year out. They have a new passion, to see how good they can be with Boogie. And they really did make a statement, I believe it's last week, against the Nuggets by beating them by over 30 points. I think almost, scoring 50 points in a quarter, it's something crazy.
In the East, we got the Bucks, Raptors, Pacers, Sixers, Celtics, Nets, Heat, Hornets, and then the Pistons looking from the outside in. The Pacers just lost one of their main stars. I forgot his name now. I totally
Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo, yeah, they just lost it. How do you see the East so far? Are these the teams that you think you'll see in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, I don't think you'll see much change. I do think the Pacers will fall off a little bit, but they still, I think, have enough around in that team to at least stay in the playoffs. There's definitely a big cliff when it comes to the Eastern Conference between the playoff teams and non-playoff teams. I wouldn't be surprised to see trade deadline, see a player like Kemba Walker are the Hornets looking to upgrade their team and try to make a playoffs with Kemba, or are they going to try to ship Kemba off and try to gain some assets? I think he's playing at such a high level, and I know they don't get enough notoriety, but I really think Hornets are a team to watch out for to see what they do at the trade deadline. Other than that, you just got the top heavy, between the Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, and Sixers. You throw those teams in a hat and one of them's going to come out there. It all depends on matchups, The bottom four teams that make the playoffs in the East, I don't think are going to challenge the top half, so I definitely think those four teams will be in the Eastern Conference semis. I just really think the Bucks are just playing at a super high level. I think last year I jumped the shark a little bit when I said they were going to upset the Celtics in the first round because I just believed in that core, and that core has come back, and I like the coach they got, Budenheiser. He's been a winner, in Atlanta. He's a Greg Popovich disciple in the way they've spread the court out, but I also think the Raptors, if they can keep things together here, they got a little bit of an injury bug right now, and they're really holding out on Kawhi Leonard, not playing him a lot in back to backs. They're kind of treating him like a king here, Santiago, in hopes that with showing him that kind of respect, that in return that he'll sign with them in the offseason.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Raptors. What's up with the Celtics? Why are they in fifth place?
They just haven't fully clicked. They got a lot of people. You miss Kyrie in the playoffs. You bring in Gordon Hayward, who's still trying to figure things out. He's definitely not the same player that he was in Utah. He's just trying to find his role on the team. you've got a lot of pieces here, and they're just trying to fill, you know, find their role. And I think this team will definitely catch fire in the second half. You know, when you come to the Sixers and Celtics, it's the team who finds the best chemistry, I think, will prevail. You know, who will be the better between those two teams.
It's one of those things that, you know, Celtics were the team of the East. I mean, people predicted them, you know, to be number one or maybe win the Eastern Conference, which they still can. Not saying they might not do it in the regular season, but they sure can do it during the playoffs. Let's switch to football. Are you surprised to see the Patriots and the Rams in this game?
Absolutely not, San Diego. To me, they're the best team in each of the conferences. The Patriots, they're very, you know, got good defense, you know, and they got Tom Brady on the other side. I don't think it's the most talented Patriots team ever, but, I mean, they're definitely on the decline with their superstars, you know, Tom Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman. I don't think they're what they were used to be, but I think they're good enough and they play within their system, and that's why they're here today. The Rams, they're a unique team, high contracts all over the board. I don't know if this will be how much this core will be here in a couple of years and they move into that new stadium, because you got all these huge contracts and eventually they're all not going to fit on the board here and they're going to have to probably, you know, pick and choose who they want to keep. But right now, you know, they wanted to win now, and that's the type of team they brought in. You know, I think they're the funnest team in the NFL to watch. They're so balanced. I think Sean McVay is the genius of an offensive coach. And what a crazy story. They bring in a guy, literally CJ Anderson, off the street. looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy out there, but man, that guy is running hard.
You think we'll see more of Todd Gurley for the Super Bowl?
I think we just don't. Something was up with him in the championship. I don't know what it was. He seemed not to be fully there. I just think that, you know, the way they beat the Cowboys, you know, both Gurley and Anderson over 100 is probably what they're going to have to do to beat the Patriots and keep Tom Brady off the field.
What do you think about that call they did against the Sams, where they didn't make a call, but it was a pass interference or a helmet to helmet? Do you think that should have been called?
Well, of course it should have been called, but, you know, that game was a week and a half ago, ago. But still, I mean, let's just move on. Like, that's
you can't do a replay, like, can't you?
It's like a fun play, San Diego, out of how many plays? You know, this. You could say that, but they still had a chance to hold the Rams. They got the ball first in overtime. There's a lot, you know, a lot of times chances the Saints could have had to win that game, you know. And I think they had terrible play calling in that series, too, where even if they, you know, I don't mind passing on third down, but they had an incomplete pass on first down, which kind of would stop the clock. If they ran the ball, which they should have, you know, you're talking about the Rams having still only about 35, 40 seconds left to play with.
One of the things that a lot of people are talking about, and the Saints, I think they're suing the NFL for it.
I think the Saints are a little unhappy because the NFL has been so silent, really, about this. You know, we know that the head officiating called Sean Payton right after the game saying they missed the call, but the Saints really wanted the NFL, you know, and Roger Goodell specifically to really say that was a bad call. And, but, you know, Roger being, you know, protecting the shield is his job, and, you know, protecting the referees, you know, and the integrity of the game, you know, hasn't said anything. But, it, you know, it makes for good sports talk, gives people something to talk about while 2 weeks between the Super Bowl. Like, so.
And also, and,
one play out of 100 plus plays in a game, you know, if that play was in the first quarter, you know, it would barely make the headlines. But because when it was, it became a bigger play.
Nickel Robbie Coleman was fined more than $26,000 for the hit on Saints wide receiver Tommy Lee Lewis. So that definitely, he got something out of it, but the Saints want more. They want a replay, and that's never been happened before in the NFL, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to go back to a specific point. I just can't ever, you know, I know it's in the rule book because I got to put it in there, but I think that's only going to be used if something ever happened or they ever found, you know, a ref was purposely, you know, betting on the game or something about that line. But when it's just a missed call, you know, I don't think you're going to, you're never going to see that situation. You know, it's an imperfect man, you know, that's the human element, you know, just like players make mistakes, referees are going to make mistakes too. And I feel bad for the Saints because, you know, they really, if they made the right call, they're in the Super Bowl because they're going to, you know, waste the rest of the clock, kick a field goal, and the game's over, you know, and they're on the way to win. But that's life, you know, they made other mistakes throughout the game. And they were up 13-0 dominating that game, and they kind of closed that game. Yeah,
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you just can't look at one play. There's several plays they could have been up 100-0, pretty much, right? Yep. So
I told him it might have been different, San Diego, if that was happened to the Broncos, but it's kind of a neutral differ, and, you know, that's life, San Diego.
Speaking about the Broncos, what do you think about the hire of Vic Fangio?
Solid defensive coach, you know. Surprised they didn't go with more of an offensive mind. I think the plan was to have Fangio as the head coach and bring back Kubiak as the offensive coordinator, but something happened, you know, difference of opinions, and, you know, and he went a separate way. But I definitely like the hire in general. We're just looking for more of a team discipline, more team to play together. You just didn't see that consistently on the Vance Joseph. So the way the Bears, you know, took a lot of big steps, you know, defensively this year, and obviously getting Khalil Mack in that situation. But he's got a couple of Khalil Macks and Brandon Chubb and Von Miller. So hopefully we'll continue to make progress this next year on the Fangio.
And before we go, did Edelman touch that ball during that punt return play?
I don't think so. I definitely thought so, that when I saw it in real time. But after all those replays, I don't think so. I think they made the right call.
Well, you
Santiago, I know I haven't talked to you since that, but have you ever seen a better fourth quarter of football than between the Patriots and Chiefs?
Never seen a better AFC Championship game like that in a while. Maybe since the Patriots and Raiders.
Yeah. That was actually a divisional game.
Sorry. Oh, my bad. Okay. No, I have not seen a good AFC Championship game like that.
No. That was great theater, Santiago. You know, there's two talking points that came out of that weekend, and that was the missed call in the Saints game and, you know, changing the overtime rules because of the Patriots-Chiefs finish.
Yeah.
You know, my theory on that, Santiago, you know, it would have been nice to have the Chiefs to have a chance, you know, and maybe changing the way a little bit, but in the same way, the Chiefs had three chances to get Tom Brady off the field in that drive, and they couldn't.
And also that offside, the KC offensive line.
Yeah, that was clearly an offside. There was a right call. You know, so I'm not really in favor of changing the overtime rule. I've kind of, you know, I like it now you have to at least score a touchdown. It's not like just, you know, make one big pass play down the field and you get in field goal range and you kick and it's over, you know. Getting a touchdown is a lot harder.
It is. And the Chiefs have a lot of, you know, what really came down to that game was experience. And I think the Chiefs, we'll see more of the Chiefs in the next upcoming years, which it's not good news for the Broncos, isn't it?
Absolutely not, San Diego. As long as Andy Reid is still calling plays and Patrick Mahomes is still there, I really don't see, you know, the Chargers are in a pretty good spot. I think they got one or two more years with Phillip Rivers. It'll be interesting to see what direction they go to after Phillip Rivers, because I think they have a really good roster. But definitely the Broncos and Raiders have a long ways to compete with the Chargers and Chiefs next year in that division.
Well, there you have it. It was the best AFC game in a while. The best of Tom Brady for sure. Maybe after that win against the Falcons, but we'll see what happens in the Super Bowl because it should be as dramatic, or I don't know. We'll see if they could top that. Ready for some game predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Knicks at the Charlotte Hornets.
I'm going to go up to Charlotte. You know, the Knicks are in a really unique – I mean, they two straight games. Their Cantor has DNPs. There's a little bit of dysfunction on that team. I don't know if they're purposely trying to tank now. I don't know what's happening down at Madison Square Garden, but I will probably never pick the Knicks for the rest of the year.
Warriors at the Pacers.
I would probably take the Warriors with Victor Oladipo, so I'm definitely taking the Warriors without Victor Oladipo.
The Brooklyn Nets at the Celtics.
Good game. The Nets are definitely a team that's, you know, getting a lot better. Celtics played their hearts out against the Warriors. This came up a little short, but Monday game in the NBA. I'm going to go with the Celtics.
The Nuggets at the Grizz.
Oh, Nuggets all day, Santiago. The Grizz are a mess.
And finally, the Hawks at the Clippers.
It's in Los Angeles. Let's go with the Clippers.
The Clippers win in Los Angeles. Ryan, how can people reach you to talk to you about the Super Bowl?
I'm the Mad Dog Report 18 on Twitter, Mad Dog Report 18. Santiago, it's a little bit off the subject. You know, I know we'll talk a little bit more of college basketball here soon, but our Liberty Flames versus the Lipscomb Bison tomorrow night in the Vine Center. Two teams, 7-0 in the conference, so it should be a highly anticipated Atlantic Sun basketball matchup.
Wow, that's right. They're in the Sun conference, right?
Yep.
That is a huge boost.
Conference wearing off for the first of two meetings. What makes these games so important, Santiago, because the higher seeded team plays home in a championship game, so it's important to win your conference.
It is. And, you know, now that Liberty is in higher up in sports than it was a couple of years ago, we definitely are going to see a lot more of them in basketball as well. Football, I know they just hired a coach, but definitely basketball is on the upswing as well. And I was going to ask you, do you remember Adam Archuleta?
Of course, yes.
One of the great safeties for the Rams. Yeah. Sports trivia. Well, anyways, Ryan, take care of that cough or that cold, whatever you have. What's going on over there?
Just a little bit of Western New York winter sickness here. Not too bad.
Though. Yeah, that would. Which those are the perks in living up north, isn't it?
Yes, I need to get some of that warm tropical air you got down there.
You can't beat it. It's actually cooler down here. It's actually 58 degrees right now. So, but you prefer that than what's going up there.
In 48 hours, we're going to have negative 30 windshields, so I would take 58 degrees any day.
And thank God you have cable. Ever watch some NBA to pass the time?
Yes, definitely, for sure.
All right, man. Thanks very much for coming on to the Sportscast.
Sounds good, San Diego. Love you guys. Bye-bye.